Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. In today's episode, we are joined by Helen Fletcher, an energy healer and spiritual guide. She shares her journey from being a research nurse to embracing spirituality after a profound awakening experience. She recounts her experience of healing her beloved cat, Mac, from a tumor, sparking her curiosity and leading her to explore the world beyond the physical. Helen's life transformed as she delved into spirituality, energy healing, and developing her intuitive abilities. Helen shares the challenges and lessons she learned through her awakening journey, including her recent experience with her energetic and mischievous puppy, Murphy. And she emphasizes the importance of cultivating a holistic approach to healing and understanding the power of our thoughts and beliefs in creating our reality. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate, and I am here with my co-host, Amanda. We have another special guest with us here today, a friend of mine, Helen Fletcher. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Helen. Helen is an energy healer, channel, and spiritual guide who works with clients around the world. In 2012, Helen experienced a dramatic awakening event that went beyond the laws of the physical world and completely changed the course of her life. This event inspired Helen to shift her focus away from the world of science and medicine and into the realms of energy and spirit. Helen is now passionate about helping spiritually evolving people connect with the extraordinary power that lies within them. She helps clients to identify and release the patterns and programs that are holding them back from achieving their own spiritual mastery and personal transformation. Helen, welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. And to tell you a little bit more about Helen, we've had a couple of people on so far that have been friends of mine, but people that I met pre my awakening. Helen is someone that I have met post my awakening, and much like Amanda, I've never met her in person, but I love her. And we've had a conversation, an episode, it's our fifth episode, where we talked about soul family and how, you know, we do come in with other souls to have shared experiences and have connections. And I believe that, Helen, you know, you are in my soul family, and we've connected because of the pursuits and the journey that we have both taken post our awakenings to explore these things that we've opened to. So your journey is such an incredible one, from going from this medical world, this science mind, to becoming a channel and an energy healer. So we're really looking forward to sharing that with our listeners today. So to begin then with that, would you like to share with us exactly that? You were, I think it was a research nurse.
Oh gosh, so different pre-awakening, chalk and cheese. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My awakening happened in early 2012. And at that time, I wasn't in the slightest bit spiritual. I didn't believe in things like energy healing. And I was very much living in the world, you know, and followed the laws of the physical world. So as you said, I had a very scientific job. I had had a career for about 15 years working in hospitals as an intensive care nurse, which was an amazing job. I loved it. And then the last job I had before leaving to become a stay-at-home mum was as a research nurse. So I was helping to run some major national and international medical research trials that, of course, were looking for evidence to prove or disprove whatever we were investigating. And that also was a great job and perfectly suited my very skeptical mindset, because I like to see evidence of something rather than just believe what I'm told. So that was a great job for me. And then when my awakening happened, I was a stay-at-home mum to my two young kids. And we lived on a bit of land and had a few pets. And one of our pets was a very beloved little cat called Mac. And he was 4 at the time that this all happened. And on that day, he suddenly became really unwell. He was clearly very distressed and in a lot of pain. So I raced him up to the vet, and she could straight away feel a firm lump in his abdomen. And she kept him in, did a whole bunch of investigations, and she diagnosed him with a very aggressive tumor. And she told us that because of the nature of the disease, there was very little that could be done for him. Even surgery and further treatment would only give him a few months. So she said, just take him home, give him painkillers and lots of love. So that's what we did. We brought him home. And that night I was sitting with Mac in my lap, and I just felt so sad because I really loved this little cat. And I suddenly felt really compelled to do something to help him. And my mind was saying to me, well, there's nothing that can be done. You heard the vet. But I still felt this compulsion to do something. And it felt like a good idea to put my hands on his tummy. And as I did that, my hands started to feel a bit prickly. The palms of my hands started prickling, and I could feel they were getting quite warm. And I had this really clear picture in my mind's eye of this tumor that we'd just seen on the scans several hours earlier. I could see it filling with light or energy. I wasn't sure what it was, but this tumor started dissolving. And I had this argument going on in my head. One half of my brain, my logical mind, was saying, what are you doing? This is silly. You're just making this up. But I still felt this compulsion to keep doing it. So the next day, Mac was in pain again. And I sat with him for about half an hour with my hands on his tummy, and the same thing happened. And then a few days later, the vet rang to check how he was going. And I said, well, he's fine. He's completely normal. He's running around, eating and drinking. And she asked me to bring him back. And when she examined him, she couldn't find any trace of this hard lump that had been there just a few days before. And I remember she said to me, what have you done? And I thought, well, I don't really want to say. It's been embarrassed. I hadn't told anyone, not even my husband, about this funny hand thing. And I said, oh, look, this happened. And I told her, and she said, I don't believe in any of that stuff. But it's as good an explanation as anything, because that thing should still be there. And I remember when she said that, when she told me the tumor had gone, it was like someone had chucked a bucket of water over me. I had this huge surge of adrenaline run through me. And I just thought, what happened? I need to know what happened. And Mac is now 16 years old. This happened when he was 4. He's asleep upstairs on my bed and still going strong. So that experience just set me off on this quest to understand how that tumor disappeared, because according to the laws of medicine, the laws of the physical world, Mac should have died when he was 4. And so I discovered that there is, in fact, a whole greater reality. We're not just living in this physical world. There's actually an infinite world beyond that we have access to. We can access all the resources that it contains. So my life since then has been taking steps to, I guess, try and get into that world. And I studied energy healing and became one of those people that I used to roll my eyes at. I didn't believe in energy healing at all. And I thought people were gullible if they were seeking that sort of help. But yeah, it's everything changed really that day. So I'm so grateful to Mac, and I'm so grateful that my awakening happened as the result of a beautiful miracle, because I know that a lot of people experience quite traumatic awakening. So yeah, I'm very grateful to Mac and to my soul for deciding that was going to be my initial awakening experience.
Thank you for sharing that. And I love that you did have that experience. A couple things that I'm curious about. How did your life change with this new realization that the old reality didn't quite fit your new reality? And how did that work with your profession, your family members, and people in your life? Like, what did that look like for you?
Yeah, good question. So I wasn't working. I wasn't in paid employment at the time. So that made things a bit easier. I was based at home looking after my 2 young kids.
That's true.
And I actually became a bit of a hermit, because it was like the world, I discovered that the way I thought the world was wasn't actually how the world was. And that was quite confronting. I really struggled with, well, what is real? So I did sort of retreat a bit, and I stopped seeing a lot of friends. I stopped doing some of the things I used to do. And I just read. I read and read spiritual books. One of the first books I read was A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. And as I was reading it, I was thinking, I have no idea what this guy's going on about. I really don't understand most of what I'm reading, but I got through to the end. And of course, I reread it years later and went, yes, that makes sense. But I just needed to learn. I just started learning about spirituality, about energy healing. I hopped onto the internet and discovered so many stories of spontaneous healing. So it wasn't just me, because I didn't know such a thing really existed to the extent that it does. Of course, working in the medical field, you always hear stories that are just like, whoa, that's a bit strange, but no one really talks about them.
It's just kind of dismissed.
In hospitals.
It's like,
yeah,
it's just that's an anomaly. That's not.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Oh, I can't explain that. So we'll just move on.
Ignore it. Yeah.
Exactly. In terms of family, my family were great. My kids were young anyway, so as long as I was still mum, and I was, that didn't change. You know, they were fine. My husband, just want to give a huge shout out to my husband. It was like he married one Helen, the scientific, you know, living in the world, getting out there doing stuff. And then suddenly one day I became spiritual, And I started meditating and reading weird books, and I just became quite a different person. And I think he's not much of a talker, but I think that he really struggled with it. But he's stuck with me, and I think he could see that it was that this discovery that I was going through, this process of discovery and growth, was actually bringing me the fulfillment that had been a bit lacking. Because even though my life on paper was fabulous and I was really happy with my human stuff, I loved being a stay-at-home mum, I loved my family and still do, it had felt like something was missing. And I was discovering that missing piece through this reading and studying energy healing and just becoming more peaceful and more content. And I think that my husband really, really noticed that. And it was kind of a bit of a relief to him that I was coming into my own, I think. Because of course my life now is so very, very different. I'm using words like soul and spiritual and psychic, and some of the words he finds a bit more confronting than others. But yeah, I love my life now, and I do feel whole and complete. So yeah, it's completely different, but completely fabulous. And I feel like I'm doing what I came here to do, whereas before I had no idea that I had come to do anything. I was just living my life.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think I can really resonate with that. Like when I found this spiritual part of myself, and then especially once I then learned how to read the Akashic Records, not that that was something necessarily I was looking for, but just when in the experience of being able to do it, and realizing actually I have these intuitive abilities, it felt to me like the needle of the record dropping into the groove. Like it was like, oh, this is it, you know. And even though I felt like I knew myself, it was like a missing piece of myself. And I really connected in that like experiential way with that part of myself. It was just like, oh, now I'm home, you know. So I really, really feel that. And it's interesting, because Amanda and I had a conversation last week about, you know, our soul's path and how we choose the family situation. We choose the, you know, our design. We choose, you know, who we're going to come into this life to experience our lessons with. And, you know, Amanda's learned a lot through studying her own astrology and Jinki, is how, you know, her daughter and her husband are here as great teachers for her through the different ways that they've incarnated and, you know, their soul's paths. And it's so interesting that from a soul level that, you know, Tony and yourself agreed that, you know, you're going to have this relationship and he may not get it, but you're going to be super spiritual. And yet, you know, this is it. And I don't know why, but I want to bring the dog into it. I want to bring the puppy in because I know Amanda has a similar story, and literally the two of you are my spiritual friends who I think I got the puppy first and then Helen got one and then Amanda got one all within like, I don't know, 6-week period. And we've had these journeys with puppies. But I don't know why, but the dog's coming into it. As we go through these spiritual paths, like Helen, I know that we have these conversations a lot about how our life, our human life, is really here as this vehicle for us to learn, and that our soul has chosen this path and these people and these situations and these experiences to learn, including poppies. So Murphy's been a spiritual teacher to you. What do you think the big lessons are that Murphy is here teaching you? Because, you know, let's expand this conversation about, you know, how every single thing in our life is a learning, a tool, because this one feels like a really challenging one for you. Can you speak to that a little bit and like how this is teaching you more about being a soul and being a human at the same time?
Oh, yes. Yes. Murphy, he came into our lives at the end of November 23. So we've had him for maybe 5 or 6 months. And he just arrived. He's been like a tornado. And I haven't had a dog since I was a kid. And I've just had this beautiful idea in my head that a dog would bring so much joy and fun to our lives. And then this puppy arrived and I just thought, oh my goodness, what have we done? What have we done? I don't want this. But just as you were talking then, Kate, I was thinking that I was so excited to bring Murphy home. And he is a beauty. He's the most gorgeous, loving, fun dog. But my life up until that point had just been flowing beautifully. And I thought, yes, it's time to add a dog, which is just going to amplify all the joy and fun I'm already having. And it really was like a big boot up the arse. It was another kind of like my initial awakening with Mac the cat. It was like, you know, just getting this big plank of wood around the head. I just went, oh my goodness, what now? Because he really brought up my shadow side. And I remember having a conversation with you, Kate, just saying, you know, I can see my shadow. He really brought me down to earth, actually, because I'd just been floating along on this lovely kind of spiritual high. Work was going well. I was meditating every day. It was all gorgeous. And then Murphy. And it really, he has shown me the bits that I wasn't seeing of myself, the irritated Helen. And the resentful Helen, as horrible as that makes me sound, I resented his presence on occasion in my life because I felt like I had no freedom. Everyone else got to leave and go out to work or off to uni, my kids. And I was just at home looking after Murphy, which has been such a blessing on so many levels. But it really brought up all that stuff that I hadn't been looking at because I'd been feeling so fabulous and spiritual. But it was obviously time for me to work on some of the deeper shadow stuff. And so my life over the last several months, and Kate has heard a lot of this, every time we catch up, I'm like, oh, and then he did this. Whinge, whinge. And yeah, I've just been working on and having a good hard look at myself, really working on all of those bits that I perhaps hadn't been acknowledging and using tools that I've picked up over the years to help me deal with some of the stuff that's been coming up. So Murphy is a real force for good. In my life. And I'd be interested, Amanda, in how your puppy has affected you.
Well, I just feel very seen by you sharing your experience. And I'm sorry that I was laughing, but it's like, I think I laugh when I'm like in pain sometimes because like I feel the
sometimes
pain.
You've got to laugh, don't you?
Yeah. It's just like, I just gotta laugh at my life sometimes. Yeah, I felt so very, you described it very similarly as like, I was, you know, meditating every day, everything was flowing nicely. And then same, like I thought, oh, well, it's time for a puppy. And it felt very like there was a nudge to like get me to get this puppy. And it's such a paradox, the experience of it all in terms of, there's like so much love, but then it's like also it's like the light and the shadow, and it's like seeing all of it. As you know, as you speak about the shadow, it's like being tired, and then like having to deal with the very physical reality of this life, like the routine. Like it's gotten me like routine and structure, and like I think I avoided that, but it's grounding me in a way. to my reality more than I was, like, I would just kind of leave my reality, I think, before. And because I have this responsibility, which is like wonderful and also awful, because I'm like, I got kicked out of a restaurant yesterday. I've never been kicked out of a restaurant in my life. The dog wouldn't stop barking. And I'm like, I just got my food. And they're like, we're going to have to ask you to leave. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really sorry. Like, I understand. Can I get, please get this to go? And I just like, it's like a humbling experience to like go through that and just kind of like, okay, it's not the end of the world, but it's like, and then he has his moments of chaos and where he's like this crazy dog, and he has this moments where he's just this like super well behaved, and it's like having to love all of him, right? Like how, like I am his caretaker, like I need to I need to be his trainer, but I also need to like love him. And I don't know. So it's that was a lot of ramble, but it's like, it's stretching me in a way that I'm thankful that this puppy stage is only that is what gives me hope, is that like, I think he's going to be a really good dog once he's an adult. And like that light of the tunnel is like keeping me going, because otherwise I don't think I could stick with it, because it really is just like learning to surrender to like the moment of like what this dog is being and doing. And he's not a bad dog, but you know, all the dogs have their quirks, and it's like, it's really a lot of work to like develop and cultivate this relationship with this other being, that it's a lot. And people think of puppies and it's like, oh, puppy. And it's so much more than that. And until you're like thrust into it, until you commit to it, do you really like experience what it is to like the embodiment of being a puppy raiser, right? It's like, it's so much more than just, and I think that's why a lot of puppies like get left, because it's a hard job. It is no joke. So thank you for sharing. And like, I appreciate that we could bring that into this conversation, because that's been my reality. And I just can only laugh about it.
Yeah, I think it's such a really beautiful example that, you know, our life is the spiritual experience. You know, it's not just when we have the meditation or when we feel the amazing feelings of, you know, peace or connection or, you know, feeling like our authentic selves. It is in these challenging times of like, well, how is this also here to teach me? How can I learn to be okay with what is? And we've spoken to that a few times through our conversations, that is one of the things that we can come to hold through our awakening experiences, is a greater capacity to be okay with what is. It's still challenging because we have a human side and we do have this ego that's like, I don't want to experience this. But it also is a great example of how our whole life we're continuing to have these more and more spiritual awakening experiences, and the journey of growth and learning and unfolding and doing the work doesn't really end. It just continues. And so many situations, ones we can least expect, can give this, bring us back to having this deeper look at ourselves. Oh, wow, I still hold this within me. I can now use the experience of my puppy to notice these other tendencies I have of ways of thinking about things, ways that I might still view the world that are in some ways holding me back from a different experience of my life, or one where, you know, I'm still choosing to say, I don't want this experience, that resistance to life, that, you know, almost like holding on to bars saying, I don't want to go down the river. I want to stay here on the side of this river. I don't want to go. But we've got to kind of take our hands off and like, okay, well, now it's this. Now it's a puppy I have to walk and train and like not get to bark and not get to bite things. And like, you know, I can't even imagine what it's like to have children. But yeah, the puppy and my puppy was a lot easier than your puppies. Touch wood. But
they all have their experience.
Yeah. So Helen, this has been part of your journey, but initially for you, coming back to your original story, you've woken up to the fact that you have this ability to move energy, heal with energy. I know that you also then went on to develop other things. So post your first experience of awakening, can you share with us some more about what it was that you began to open to, realize about life, big shifts that took place for you that really did, you know, move you forward on that path, you know, to one day then get a dog down the track and like dig in for some more lessons. But what else unfolded for you after that? How did life really change? Yeah.
Well, really, once I started working with energy, I had trained as a Reiki master over the course of about 3 or 4 years, and I started seeing clients. And as I worked with the clients, I started to know things about them. I started to receive thoughts in my head about the clients, and I actually really struggled with that. I didn't say anything for quite a while. I didn't share what was going on in my head, the pictures I was seeing, and I just went along and did my Reiki process, and it was lovely, and you know, people felt the benefit and healings happened. So it was beautiful work, and I loved it. And the information that I started to have became louder, if that makes sense. The thoughts became bigger, more insistent. There were more of them, and I started to see patterns within people that may be, you know, causing the issues that they were having. So patterns of belief or patterns of behavior. And I thought, well, I don't want to share that because that's really personal. So there's no way I'm saying that to this complete stranger who I've just met, who's lying on my table. And then one day I was doing a healing session with a friend, and I got a whole bunch of information about her, and it felt safe to speak up. So I said to her, look, I've got this stuff in my head. It's a bit random. Do you mind if I share it? And she said, you're spot on. That's exactly what's been happening. So that gave me the courage and the confidence to start sharing what I was seeing and hearing and sensing. And so in that way, my healings developed and gifts started to open up. So then it was actually during COVID that things changed again, because of course we couldn't see clients in person. So I started doing healings online, and that was fine. And it was all, the outcomes were the same, because as we know, energy doesn't rely on being in the physical presence of someone. So I started to, I had this thought in my head one day, if I can receive information when the person isn't even in front of me, I wonder if I could just do a reading without the healing. I wonder if I could just get the information but not do the energy work. And that's how my readings developed, because I call myself a channel, channeling the higher sources of information that come through for the clients for the highest healing, which is the intention I set for every session. And it just feels like the development continues as I continue to do the work. So that's been really exciting. I don't know if that answered your question. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember what your question was now, but it felt like that was what I wanted to say.
Perfect.
I'm curious.
There's always more. There's always more to come.
Yes, there's layers and there's an unfolding, and it's like if we got it all at once, like it would be too overwhelming. It has to come in like stages, right? We have to do like preparation, and then it's like get the puppy, so then you can go to this next level, and then you get that dialed in, and then the next thing, you know. So I'm curious, if looking back to your life prior to your initial awakening, do you see any hints of like you having particular healing abilities, like maybe in a less developed form than you currently have? Like, was there hints of like intuition or receiving messages? Now, like in retrospect, maybe you didn't recognize them at the time, but what's your thoughts on that?
Yes, I would say, but at the time I didn't recognize them for what they were. And I remember in particular, there was one day I had a patient in intensive care, and it was this lady, and they weren't sure what was wrong with her. She had all these symptoms and didn't know what was wrong. And she was okay. She wasn't on life support or anything, but she was very sick but stable. And I had this sudden thought in my head, she's going to crash. She's going to go down in a big way. And so I went and got the registrar, the intensive care registrar, the doctor, and said, you need to intubate this lady. She's really about to crash. And he was just sort of, I don't think so. Thanks, nurse. I don't think so. And I went on my tea break. And when I came back, she was intubated because she just crashed. And I thought, wow, how did I know that? Mm. And I was chatting about it. I was just going, oh, that was really weird. I was chatting about it with some of my colleagues. And they said, oh, yeah, that's just, you know, the intuition you get. If you work here long enough, you just get this intuition about things. And so I just thought, oh, yeah, it's just because I'm experienced. It's just experience talking. Mm-hmm. But there were a few kind of intuitive hits that I had. I wouldn't say that there was certainly no healing ability that I was aware of, although I know as a nurse I was a very hands-on person. I like to, even if someone was unconscious, you know, if I was working next to them, I would love to just have my hand on their hand. Maybe that was a bit of healing touch, who knows. But yeah, I was certainly always fascinated by the idea of healing, but I started off healing in the Western medical field and loved it, and I still do. And look, I it's not like I've moved on to energy work from Western medicine, although of course I have in terms of my career. I still love Western medicine. It takes a very important place in society. And if I broke my arm, I'd be the first one up to A&E to get it sorted. And I would always encourage someone, if they feel like they have a medical issue, to seek Western medical help. Things like energy healing and all the other raft of alternative or complementary therapies that are now available can be in addition to Western medicine. So I feel like Western medicine knows so much and has such a powerful place in the healing field, but it only goes so far. And things like energy healing pick up where Western medicine leaves off. And we're kind of getting into the quantum field with things like energy healing. And there's just so much more. So I come back right to the beginning. There's so much more going on than we realize. So I would never write off seeking additional help, even if you are going through Western medical treatment. Don't write off all the other therapies. If you're drawn to something, then there's a reason for that. Maybe there's something there for you that's going to help you. So, yeah, it's like it can be a beautiful blend using Western medicine and the more esoteric therapies. But yes, to go back to your original question, I think there were glimpses, but because I didn't believe that anything like that was possible, I didn't really take much notice. So it's interesting looking back now, though. It's, there were certainly hints, but it obviously wasn't the time for it all to blossom just yet.
You said something interesting, what you wrote. to us, the method of your awakening is part of your soul's path. So it's like, it seems from what you shared, it's like you said you're skeptical, cynical, like you needed to have that preparation, that experience of being a researcher, and then you became a researcher of spirituality. And that actually, I think having that framework that you developed through your own personal research, it then allowed you to acknowledge that intuition, which sounds like you had before. It just, our minds, right, can get in the way of acknowledging it. And it's like, if our mind just doesn't believe it's possible, we dismiss it. But you had the experience that was so obvious, right, with your cat. It was like, it woke you up because you couldn't just like dismiss it away. Mm-hmm. Like it was so easy to do in other instances, like, oh, you know, just experience or whatever. So it's like, it's almost like this unraveling, right? Like this whole, it's all preparation, like each part of our path, right? Like it's an unfolding process that we go through.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I feel like the elements of my life before my awakening perfectly set me up for my life post-awakening. And in terms of the healing of Mac, that research job that I did where we were looking for evidence of something before we could say that, you know, whether it was a fact or not, there was the evidence of Mac's healing in front of me. But then I just thought, well, you know, what am I supposed to do with that? And that was the catalyst for me to become who I am now. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm still evolving, but it's, of course, we're all still evolving, but it's interesting how my life pre-awakening, it's almost a bit like a mirror image, but the mirror sort of was a bit distorted beforehand. It feels like that was just the preparation ground for who I am now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was certainly incredible for me to see that evidence, because I am so skeptical. I just thought, oh, you know, the vet must have got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a chat with the vet. She's become a very dear friend. I caught up with her the other day and we went for a walk with Murphy and she gave Mac a cuddle. And she has said to me in the past, I struggled with that, with Mac's healing for a long time. And I felt like I perhaps missed something. But at that time, she'd actually got a second opinion from a specialist vet in Sydney. So that helped convince her that actually something incredible had happened, something miraculous had happened. And it sort of reassured me that, no, it hadn't just been a cyst that popped and that's why it had gone away. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was a true healing. So, yeah, the evidence was there. And as I said before, I'm just grateful every day that experience happened, because I love life now. If you follow the breadcrumbs and try not to resist too much, it is just going to lead you to exactly where you need to be. And it can be quite a magical journey. It's still very up and down journey, but there's certainly plenty of magic there too.
And I think, you know, what you've just described, Helen, and your path, I think we touched on this again last week, is that we are never not on the path. You know, it's not like when you were a medical researcher or a research nurse that you were off path. You were exactly where you needed to be. That was, everything was leading you in preparation to that moment, to have that experience, to then exactly be the one who is so compelled to research, you know, this new experience and learn more about it, and then just naturally make that transition. And I just love that when you did the embracing of it, it just does open more and more of the gifts and the abilities. And I know that it's been a really powerful experience in your life. And I have a question, because I know that your view of the world has changed a lot. And when I say the view of the world, of like, really, there's so much more here than we were taught, that we initially understand. And so what have you come to understand about the world now, post your awakening and through these experiences you've been having?
Well, I think one of the key things, the major differences since my awakening, is I've come to understand that energy healing is real, that everything is energy. And we've got Einstein to thank for that. Energy is matter. We are made of energy, and energy healing is a real thing. And it's not just my experience with Mac that showed me that. There's actually entire scientific institutes set up to study energy healing and things like human consciousness and the effect of our thoughts on our physical reality. And the reason I love the scientific institutes is because it's a beautiful blend of the science and the spirituality. And there's some incredible research, some really high quality scientific research done into energy healing. I think Harvard University did a big study on Reiki practitioners at the end of 2019, I think it was. And they showed that the energy work made measurable differences, positive differences to the participants in the study. And there's so much of that sort of work going on, but the major insight I had from that is that we have a lot greater power over our reality. We're actually creators of our reality through the thoughts that we think. The energy of the thoughts that we think doesn't just stay inside our head. It's actually received by the object of our thoughts. And that's part of the way that energy healing works. And that really blew my mind. I remember reading a little book called The Hidden Messages in Water by Dr. Masaru Emoto, a Japanese scientist, who clearly showed that the thoughts we think can affect physical matter. And his research has been replicated so many times with the similar outcomes. And so that set me off on this whole path of a sort of, tangent of my spiritual development, just really thinking about what am I thinking? Whereas before, thoughts would just pop into my head and they'd pass through and I'd either do something with them or not. Now, when I remember, I try to think, okay, what is the energy of this thought? Who am I thinking it about, or what am I thinking it about, and what's it doing to them? And I went through several years ago, I started teaching workshops, spiritual development and psychic development workshops. And one of the things I taught was about the energy that we emit and how it impacts the people around us, our pets, our plants, and just human consciousness on a grand scale. And I remember saying one day, if only we could see the energy of our thoughts being received by the object of our, whatever that thought is, then I think our lives would be so different. And that immediately, as soon as I had that thought about seeing the energy, that immediately made me feel guilty as a mother for all the times that I've been cross with the kids, or just thought, oh, I wish they'd just be quiet and leave me alone, or, because that energy was received on some level. But also, if you think about how we think about ourselves and our bodies, we're so critical often. And that old saying about if a friend spoke to you the way you speak to yourself, like, you would certainly wouldn't call them a friend. So yeah, we just are so much more powerful than, as you said, Kate, than we were ever told. And I think if you can learn to harness that and just learn to interact with the world, knowing that you are creating your reality as you go, then that's a game changer. It's a life changer.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is remembering to do it. Not getting stuck in the human stuff and remembering to take the higher power.
There's a lot that you just said in there that resonated with me. Specifically, I wanted to touch upon how there's this belief that I think it permeates a lot of Western culture that science and spirituality are two different things, right? But at what you just explained is that, you know, we can use science to better understand spirituality, right? Like they do not have to be, there does not have to be this division. And if there wasn't this like programming, I think that takes place. And like, I think a lot of the education system, the medical training, right? Like where we learn to dismiss those experiences that we have, then because from my experience, like we need to, when we have those experiences, when we acknowledge them, it's like strengthening a muscle, right? Then the next time that we have that experience, it's a lot more obvious. It heightens our sensitivity and our awareness to our ability to sense what we're experiencing. And so when we having that belief system be so pervasive, it shuts down that strengthening of our connection with those impulses, those intuitions that we receive. And so in a way, like kind of keeps it out of, it's kind of kept it out of a lot of the medical system, but it still gets in there, right? And it's fun. And I think as we're going through this process on Earth, it's happening more and more where people are having to question, right? Like the unexplainable that is not, you know, science, the medical system can explain certain things, but it can't, as you said, can't explain everything. And so people are sharing their experiences like you've done, and or they have things that just they can't be explained. And then it's like, I have to start being open. And I think when we open, it's like that's where the possibility comes into having a deeper understanding of what can be. So what you were speaking to, like our thoughts and our beliefs having like such a powerful role in our spiritual connection, our awakening. I think you talked about, it's not easy, but it's like, it's a practice, right? Like it's a practice that one has to cultivate in order to strengthen, to develop or heighten your abilities, your healing abilities, your intuition. It's like, it's something that we can cultivate. And it kind of goes to the idea that like, I think a lot of people are that it's very common to believe that you're either intuitive or you're not intuitive. And I think some of us have, maybe it's easier for some people to sense things or have healing abilities. Like our designs make us more, make it easier, but it's also a cultivation that happens over time. And it sounds like, you know, your whole journey has been a cultivation to have a wide range of both the physical, right? Having a very real experiences with the physical medicine. And then that also being such a wonderful, you have such a wonderful spectrum and appreciation for all the ways that healing could happen. Because yes, as you said, you know, when you do break your arm, you want someone that knows what they're doing. you want an orthopedic surgeon to help you with that. Mm-hmm. You don't want it. Maybe you want an energy healer too, but you don't want to just rely on the energy healer. At least in our current like reality as we know it, right? Like maybe one day that's possible. So I really love that like your research has gone from being very integrated in the medical system to now like exploring the quantum physics and the institutions that are exploring. And something I found very interesting is like a lot of the governments around the world have been studying this for many decades, right? Like, I don't know. And so it's like the governments know the science of spirituality and healing. And so it's just, we've internalized the belief that that's, you know, it's not real, but I think these awakening experiences allow us to pierce the veil that of the belief system that we've been walking through this life with. So thank you for so wonderfully illustrating what that's been like for you.
Well, Helen, we're coming up to time. Thank you so much for everything you've shared. I feel like we could probably chat for longer, and maybe we can have you back on and like just really dive into energy and even this like idea of a more holistic approach to who we are and our own healing. You know, that's what something I really heard you say, that yes, we have to treat the physical, you know, from a medical perspective and a Western medical perspective, but we cannot discount that there's more to us than that. And a holistic approach to any healing is not just the one thing. And, you know, we could probably talk about that for a lot longer, but we have run out of time. What I would love to do is if you could just share with us a little bit more about the readings that you do and the healings that you do. I know that you do them online. You're based in Australia, but you do work with people around the world. If you could just share with our listeners a little bit about those two things.
I see clients in person too, if they're mm-hmm. local to me. But I do offer energy healing and readings. And on my website there, I've had them as separate things. The readings are very much soul path readings. So we have a look at where someone is on their soul path, what their particular challenges might be, and what might be blocking them from stepping forward and into a greater awareness of their soul presence and what they came here to do. What I found, even in the last several months, even though I say I do healings and I do readings, my sessions over the last several months have started to become a blend of the two. So even if someone books for a healing, there's a big element of reading in there often, or vice versa too. So it feels like my work is evolving, and mm-hmm. it feels like there's something else to come too, so which is quite exciting, and I'm very curious to see what happens next. And I know from past experience that it will just happen. It'll just become, a client will be here or online, and I'll say, oh, wow, that new thing happened. That's never happened before. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. But yes, I do offer healings that are different every single time. Of course, every client is different, and even the same client, each healing is very different and can incorporate energy work, as I said, information from higher sources, may involve EFT tapping, which is wonderful for really digging into some of those programs that you were talking about, Amanda, that, you know, our beliefs about the world, ourselves, what is possible and what isn't possible. And it's all energy work. Tapping, of course, is working with the energy meridians, but it's also working with the brain. So, and again, there's research about tapping that shows how it rewires the brain and shifts our electromagnetic field. I'm so glad I did that research job, because it's just added so much richness and helped me to really anchor in the stuff that I feel and I know in my heart and soul is true. That skeptical mind is always trying to talk me out of it, so I can go back and say, ah, yes, but I saw the scan, I saw Max's scan, and I saw that tumor, or I read that research study that Harvard University did. So yeah, it's we're always evolving. There's so much help out there for anyone who feels like they're struggling. Spirituality is becoming so much more mainstream now. There are people like you guys who are doing a podcast and talking out loud and in public about things like souls and being divine. Maybe even 20 years ago or 50 years ago, certainly, no one was saying things like that out loud. It was quite taboo. But there's so much help of every kind available now. And people can even hop onto Netflix and watch things like the Heal documentary. And it really is a question of just someone seeing what resonates with them and following that breadcrumb. I believe that we're always guided to the resources that will be most helpful to us for our next steps. So it could be an energy healing. It could be an Akashic record reading with Kate. So it's an exciting time to be alive, as much as I whinge about how hard it is to be human.
It really is.
And I just want to feel that divinity all the time. It's an incredible time to be here.
I just want to acknowledge you, because what I've heard in your story is, like, you've gone through your life with an openness and a curiosity to, and therefore you've continued to evolve and receive new ways of doing things because of your curiosity. So, as you said, you're stepping into new things are coming, and it's. I think that's a good takeaway for people to hear, is that the more open we are to what's possible, the more gifts we'll receive, essentially. So, thank you for illustrating that so beautifully. And I just want to mention your website is helenfletcher.net, and we'll have that in the show notes of our website for this particular episode. For people who are listening, you can go there and you can learn about Helen's offerings and take further steps if you've really loved what she had to say, which I've really loved what you've had to say. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, Helen, it's been wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much. I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so you can be notified when new episodes are released. To learn more about today's guest and view all the resources mentioned in this episode, visit our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and visit the episode page for this conversation. You can also go directly to the episode page by clicking the link in the show notes, wherever you are listening or watching this. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care. In today's episode, we are joined by Helen Fletcher, an energy healer and spiritual guide. She shares her journey from being a research nurse to embracing spirituality after a profound awakening experience. She recounts her experience of healing her beloved cat, Mac, from a tumor, sparking her curiosity and leading her to explore the world beyond the physical. Helen's life transformed as she delved into spirituality, energy healing, and developing her intuitive abilities. Helen shares the challenges and lessons she learned through her awakening journey, including her recent experience with her energetic and mischievous puppy, Murphy. And she emphasizes the importance of cultivating a holistic approach to healing and understanding the power of our thoughts and beliefs in creating our reality.